The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Live from WTBR Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, it's once again time for Romeo and Zoe. Exclusively heard on 89.7 FM, WTBR. Give us a call, 413-445-5943 for another beautiful day in the Berkshires. Join Ralph and I as we talk about all kinds of things today. The Oscars, we'll talk about the State of the Union, Saquon Barkley moving on, and we have lots of great stuff for you, so stick around. Thanks. Well, good morning to another audience right there, right here amongst the worldwide web or worldwide network. It's Robbie Zucker and Ralph Romeo. Good morning. We're right here on the air. Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Good morning. You know, this show's more popular than Oppenheimer.
Yeah, well, that was some landslide thing going on the other day, man. I tell you, they
swept the whole thing.
I know. I watched. Most of it. I caught it like about maybe 8:15 or so. So I didn't watch the Best Supporting. I was happy for Robert Downey Jr., one of my favorite actors, that he won. So I was really happy.
Downey Jr., no cocaine for 25 years did him some good.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I know. Terrible drug. That's the worst drug in the world. Thank God I never liked cocaine, boy.
I've never had cocaine ever. I think I would be kind of like Len Bias, if you remember him.
Yeah, of course I remember him. Maryland.
I think I would die on the spot if I ever took a line of cocaine.
No, I know. I remember doing some in college, and boy, it was awful. It was
You did cocaine?
Yeah, a few times. I never liked it.
Look at you, you hot shot.
And thank God. Thank God I never liked it. So.
Oh, my God. The Incas loved it.
Yeah, they did, right? They built those temples really fast, man.
The Incas built their temples on.
They built them fast. Yeah, right. They said, how did they build them so fast? And the guy's like, hey, man, you know, we had some cocaine and a little bit of coffee.
All jacked up on cocaine.
Right, exactly. We have cocaine and coffee.
They had their own little Studio 54, right?
Exactly. They were dancing them and Mick Jagger together. That's right.
Dancing the night away.
So 413.
I think Mick Jagger's about 80 years old there, buddy.
He is. He's in better shape than I am. So 413-445-5943, because you want to chime in or anything. We're talking about a bunch of different things today. Obviously, we'll focus on the State of the Union, which was very strange. Also, too, some popular athletes in New York leaving and some coming in. So, I guess we'll start with Saquon Barkley.
Saquon
Barkley, El Gonzo, to the rival. Well, the rival, Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, come on.
That's a travesty.
It's ridiculous. I mean, of all the teams to sign with, so the Giants get to see Saquon next year twice, and every year after that twice, depending on how long he has his career for. And, I mean, I wish him well. He's a nice kid. But, you know, they goofed around with those contracts like crazy. They offered him a bunch of money a few years ago. And, you know,
he doesn't get that the running back is not the featured position anymore.
Exactly,
the running back
right.
is not what he used to be.
He still thinks he's hanging out with Franco Harris and Tony Dorsett.
He should have grabbed that deal. But again, what did Philly offer him?
$37.5 million for 3 years.
Oh, that's not chump change.
No, definitely not, especially for a running back in this day and age of the National Football
League. He could break down first game because they're so fragile.
Exactly.
Is that guaranteed money?
I believe it's all guaranteed, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Isn't that something? The NFL guaranteeing I'm pretty sure
it's guaranteed money. I mean, I can check on it, but I'm pretty sure that was 37.5, but it might not.
You know, they used to have those stipulations that some were guaranteed and some weren't.
Most contracts aren't guaranteed, so I can't remember if it's a guaranteed contract or not.
I heard it was guaranteed. That money that you just stated, that it was guaranteed money. I heard that.
All right. So he's a happy camper, right? And he got his stinking money and so forth. But you know what? Let me tell you something. He was never going to be that effective with the Giants. With the Eagles, he'll probably be better. He got a better offensive line in front of him. So we'll see what happens. And then the Giants going out and signing Houston running back Devin Singletary yesterday to replace Saquon Barkley next year. And Singletary's good. He's quick. He can catch the ball in the backfield. Pretty good player. So, but it's just interesting how he went to the Eagles, you know? And the Eagles have snatched him up.
You send him to your most bitter rivals.
Right. A team that they can't beat half the time. They haven't beat what they beat.
You remember the Eagles used to have a prison right in Veterans Stadium?
Yes, I think I do. Remember the old veterans?
They have a little
stadium.
Jail built in for all the unruly fans.
Remember the old veterans stadium? Oh my God, that place. Yeah, the old veterans.
They would actually arrest a guy and throw him right in the jail, right in the stadium.
I'm thinking of John Facenda, the voice of God. He's going,
John Facenda. John Facenda.
The voice of God. They used to go, and so that veterans stadium.
I thought I was the voice of God, but he was the true voice of God.
He was the true voice. Right.
He had a tremendous voice.
He did. He had a very distinct voice. So. And it was interesting.
Remember how they put that classical music to the NFL plays?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I used to watch those films with Steve Sable. And in fact, I got a chance to talk to Steve Sable many, many years ago. And he and
it's a beautiful concept.
His father,
if you
Ed,
think about it, it was an ingenious concept.
Yes.
He'd say on a Sunday afternoon, the frozen tundra of Green Bay.
Right. The frozen tundra of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the home of the Green Bay Packers.
Bart Starr
freezing
back to
our
pass.
Asses off at 42 below zero. If you want to get in touch with Ralph, it's 646-492-2436. Again, 646.
I have Lenny in the Bronx chiming in. Lenny. Sean in Massachusetts, your way, chiming in.
There you
in.
Go. Thanks, Sean.
I have Dale on the left coast chiming in. And
by the
Juan
way,
the
you can call this station, by the way, 413-445-5943. Love to have somebody on the air if they want to. I talked to my buddy Kevin Larkin today about popping in possibly. So he might join us maybe sometime.
Kevin's later. A good man.
Yes, he is. Very
the
nice.
Only thing, you know, I'm not gonna even engage in conversation because I lose transmission.
I know. I understand that.
Just realize that when you get Kevin on the air, I'm just going to lay out.
Yeah,
I'll go do the dishes.
Well, no, you can speak. He just has to wait for a second. Well, believe me,
to wait seven seconds.
Yeah, believe me, I asked him. Believe me, I asked about this. You know, I did. I asked about it, and I was just like, oh, can we get a, you know.
Well, it's not Bob's fault. Whose fault is it it's not getting done?
It's not anybody's fault, really. It's just, unfortunately.
Let's blame somebody. Come on.
Okay, blame.
I need to blame somebody for
everything.
My mother blames
everything on
my
Joe.
My wife said something. What's that, baby?
My
Yeah. It's somebody down there that's doing another. I think sometimes when people are doing their job, they're actually not. When they say they're doing their job, they're actually not doing their job. They're actually doing something else, personal business.
My mother blames everything on Joe Biden. Might as well blame this one on Joe
Biden. It's Joe Biden's fault.
It's all Joe's fault.
The reason why the callers can't hear me has to be Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Joe Biden has the mentality at 81 years old of a pencil sharpener. Do you realize that he has no ability to run a country?
He looks so old too. You know, he looks.
And
like,
I used to actually like the guy.
Yeah,
about
I know. Me
30
too.
Years
me too.
Ago.
Yeah, me too. You know, he looks so old though, and it's like he looks. You know, what he looks like. You ever see Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist? He looks like that guy,
yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Hey, Walter, how you doing?
You're
hey,
right.
Shut the hell up, man. My rear end is killing me. Right. Me and Walter have something.
Well, he walks around like he's a Parkinson's victim.
Walter
that's
and
a
I.
Parkinson's gait. And that's nothing to laugh about. I'm not
no,
making
not
light
at all.
Of the situation.
No, not
I'm
at
just
all.
Saying, you can't put a guy like that in charge of the free world.
I know. I'm saying for another 4 years. Goodness. And then on the other hand, you have the other knucklehead. Who makes fun of his
Donald
stutter.
Trump's demented in his own
I know.
Way.
He makes fun of his stutter. He made fun of Biden's stuttering the other day.
I know. I saw
That's
that.
It's so bad.
MSNBC is having a field day with the way he made fun of Joe Biden.
I know. It's nuts. It really is.
He has no scruples whatsoever.
You know, the media,
he really
the media is the enemy of the people. I mean, like, this is your choice, ladies and gentlemen, for president of the United States. I mean, it's sad. It's
you know,
sad.
You know what the thing is, Rob?
Yeah.
Donald Trump was a New York liberal for years.
Of course he was.
He was never a conservative. But the way to the presidency was conservatism.
He was very friendly with my friend Natasha's father, who just fortunately passed away. And they were friends for years. They played golf together, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, but
Trump's pretty good on the golf course. he is. He's actually not bad. It was actually shocking to see him drive a golf ball.
Well, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I used to go to the Westchester Classic.
He puts that 250 pounds into a. I guess he hits the ball about 250 yards.
I used to go to the Westchester Classic, right? In Westchester, the Westchester Country Club. Of course, if you were Jewish or Catholic when you were kids, you couldn't get in that club. So strict, it was very restricted. And so we used to go to the Pro Am, and you'd see like guys like Wayne Gretzky would play. You know, and when I met Gretzky there, he wasn't much of a golfer. Here's a guy who's like arguably the greatest hockey.
The problem was Gretzky played with a hockey stick. That was
right,
his main.
Exactly. He was kind of like which I was thinking of Happy Gilmore playing golf with a hockey stick.
He actually putted with his hockey stick.
1010 right here on WTBR 89.7 FM.
By the way, you just mentioned the greatest hockey player that I've ever seen.
Yeah, a nice guy, super nice guy too. I met him when I was 19. It's one of my favorite autographs.
Very nice guy. Very much a ladies' man. Did you know that about him?
I've seen Janet Jones.
He can't
Jones,
stay with one woman.
Really? That's interesting because he and Janet Jones were I thought they were still together.
He cheats all the time. I heard that he's a big, big cheater.
Really? That I didn't
know. Yeah, I heard he's well, a big cheater. I hate to do that. I'm disparaging the poor guy.
He and Janet Jones still together or no?
Did you hear what I said, poor guy?
Poor guy.
I heard he's a big cheater. Yes, I did. And you know, the thing is, every time he goes out with a woman, he brings his hockey stick.
So he and Janet Jones aren't together anymore, I'm assuming. Yeah, okay. Because that's the reason
I was looking at a video of Dolph Lundgren.
Yep.
And he was talking about his days with Grace Jones.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember Dolph Lundgren?
Yes, I do.
You know, white skin, yes. Norwegian kind of looking guy. Yes. Grace Jones from Ethiopia.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah, so.
It was quite the combination.
Yes, Dolph Lundgren played a character in the Escape from Sobibor. It was about the bunch of Holocaust survivors in Sobibor escaping. And Dolph
it was like
movie.
Night and day, those two together. Yep.
Grace Jones, I remember she was in a lot of films. She was James Bond, I remember her.
I was afraid of Grace Jones.
She was tough, man. She could knock you out.
I saw Grace Jones in Central Park one time.
Yeah.
She looked like an African, what do you call it, a tribal leader in Africa. She came walking towards me. I ran the other direction.
Yeah, she was very tribal looking. You're right. Yeah, definitely. She'd walk
she had her
with
head shaved
walk around with
when
spear.
Nobody had their head
right,
shaved.
Before Shania Twain, before Sinead O'Connor, may she rest in peace.
Sinead O'Connor, she's in, where is she now? Where do you think she is?
She's passed away.
I know she passed away. Where do you think she went?
I
where do we go when we die?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know.
That's the question. That's the esoteric question.
Absolutely. I hope I go someplace. Then somebody said, I remember James Lipton doing interviews like, if heaven exists, what's the first thing that you want, you know, that they say, that they tell
Lipton.
Me, that they tell me. And I'd say, well, Mr. Zucker, the buffet table's right over there in that corner. Go ahead. Help yourself.
I'll take a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah, bring it back to the Neville or something, the Catskills from, 19, bum, bum, bum.
The greatest episode of Inside the Actor's Studio. Which one do you think was the greatest?
My favorite is with Robin, hands down.
Oh, you got it.
I mean, I love that. Man, he says, when he tells, he asks him what his favorite word is. Remember he said, he goes, oh my God, it's so wonderful. Oh, baby. And I was like doing that. I love Robin. Robin was my hero.
There was
hero.
One woman that couldn't stop laughing. Do you remember
that?
Oh,
yes, I remember that like crazy, yes.
One woman in the audience could not stop laughing. And Robin Williams played to her.
Absolutely, I remember that very well.
He was great.
What is your
too bad he hanged himself.
Oh, just
what
I never,
a bitter
I'll
end
never forget,
for such a great guy.
I was working for a company one night, and I remember my friend Jeff texting me about him passing away, and I was devastated. I went back to the break room, and
the whole country was devastated.
Oh, it's terrible.
You felt like you knew the guy.
Absolutely, yeah. But a nice, super
what is
nice
it?
Guy.
His greatest performance was.
Boy, there's so many of them, but. I love him in Good Morning Vietnam, but I loved him so much because he won for Good Will Hunting. And I auditioned that monologue for Mike Lemon Studios in Philadelphia, the one where he's talking about his wife. So
that was a great one.
Yeah, he was great in that.
I like him in Dead Poets.
Oh, he was fantastic in that.
Robert Sean Leonard, Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, great movie.
That old actor was in there, James, the one that's still with us. I think he just died, but he made about 103 or 4. You know who the one that played the principal?
Yes.
James something. I think he just passed away at 104.
Okay, right. Yes, what is poetry? That whole scene.
Yes, what is poetry? We have to teach it
Captain
technically.
Captain, my captain. That's right. Hey, that's right. Hey. Oh, Captain, my captain. That's right.
I used to train with Ethan Hawke, you know.
No kidding. Yeah, I know he lived in the city for a long time.
He used to go to a place called Synergy on 57th Street.
Okay.
And he was always a skinny guy. Skinny, flabby. Have you seen people that are skinny, flabby?
Yes, me.
They're skinny, but no muscle tone?
Yeah, like me.
He used to come in there and say, how do you put on all that muscle? How do you do it? I said, well, you know, you have to eat well. You have to train regularly. You have to... He wanted like 20 pounds of muscle in the span of about 6 weeks. I said, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
It's impossible to put a Cadillac, put that muscle on your body.
I put a Cadillac up your nose. It's just impossible.
A Cadillac up your nose, unless you're Italian or Jewish.
Right, exactly. So getting back to the State of the Union, what is it that you think? Did you think it was way too political? I thought it was way too political. I mean, here's a guy who says he wants to bring the country together, and I just thought it was way too political. That was my
opinion. First of all, he scolded the American people.
My mother says he lies. He lies about everything.
He talked in such a tone that you felt like it was a school teacher reprimanding you for being bad.
Did you hear
how he was screaming?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you know the reason why? When you're that old and you're that feeble, you have no middle ground. You're either dead on your feet or you're all jacked up like this. There's no middle ground to a guy who's faltering at 81.
Yeah, he was pretty demonstrative. A lot of demonstrative is the word.
Very good.
And a lot of his statements and so forth. But again, it's really funny watching. And I've been in that room before. It's not as big as it looks. Okay, the room in the Capitol
building.
Very small. Okay, and it's not as big as it looks. But it just looks so grandiose when you watch it on TV. And they had him. He's standing there, you know, and they have that kind of like hand wringing when he walks in. He's saying hi to everybody. And the one guy that he embraced from the Republican side was Mitt Romney.
Actually, he stands up for him many times.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. Like Mitt doesn't like Trump. So Mitt's like an old fashioned Republican. Like he's like not one of the sort of new, you know, mega sort of supporters.
There, I've never had a friend named Mitt.
My ex had a cat named Mitt.
Biff, these country club names.
I know, Mitt and Biff. There you go.
Biff, Mitt. What else? What else goes along? Dale. My good friend Dale is going to forgive me, but Dale.
Right, Dale. Chip and Dale. Remember Chip and Dale?
One of those names. Chip. Yes, Chip.
Chip. Chip and Dale. Remember Chip and Dale?
Potatoes. I just love potatoes. Remember this? Vegetables. I just love vegetables.
But Mitt Romney, he's got all his hair at the age of 75.
Yeah, he looks
pretty
good.
Impressive.
Yeah, he looks good. He definitely looks darn good.
He lives a good life.
He was a good governor here. He really was. He was a very good governor.
He's a pretty good governor.
Yeah, he was a good governor.
I never had anything against him.
No, not me. I never
if
really
he,
did.
If he would have won the second term, the Obama's second term in 2012, would we have been in better shape?
Probably, yeah. I would think so.
Because Obama was a failure. Wouldn't you agree?
In some capacities, I think, especially foreign policy, he was most definitely, yeah. So I don't know. Why do people think about that? I don't know. I think it was pretty good. What do you think?
He handed Iran billions of dollars in cash. And I never understood why. He actually gave them cash money.
Right.
So they can handle the money any way they chose. When you give somebody cash money, it goes right to the black market.
Right, especially Iranians. They like to hang out with Hamas citizens. So
those are, you know, the Iranian people are so beautiful, but the government are terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is terrible. So here's the thing that I love about Iran. Give me 20 minutes. I may think of something.
Go ahead. Speak.
Here's the thing. Every Iranian that I've met enjoys freedom. They love the American way of life. They love freedom. They love just be able to go, come and go as they please. Religious freedom is a big deal to these people. But yet the government doesn't listen to their people. They don't care about their people. The government just wants to become richer and richer and richer. And of course, they want to wipe America off the face of the earth. So we have a problem. When an American president embraces a country that wants to destroy us, like Obama did, you have yourself a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean,
and by the way, I can't see you today.
You can't see me? Okay. Well, you don't want to see me. I look like hell.
I see a black face right here.
I like see a white, red door no, and I want to paint
a white,
it black.
A white figure.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, I think when I put the headphones on, that's what's giving me the headache. So
you're such a handsome devil, though. I like to see you.
Well, I try, you know.
And I'm a straight man, you know, but I still can recognize a handsome
devil.
Well,
you're a good-looking guy, so. I mean, the women swoon when they see Ralph, so.
But you know the State of the Union?
Yeah.
You know what the problem is?
Yep.
It used to be that both sides, even for that one night, Robbie.
Yep.
Even for one night, they got together and they made peace. If just for one night. And he was not able to do that.
Exactly. It's so fun. And what I laughed so hard about was was the Speaker of the House. His reaction,
Johnson.
Yeah, his reaction, it was hilarious. Like, just his expressions, the way he was looking, he would frown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's just really funny looking, you know.
They panned over to him. He had a constipated look on his face.
Know. Yeah, he looked like me.
He looked like you on a bad day.
Exactly, yeah. So pretty much, yeah. I'd be like,
milk of magnesia. Milk of magnesia, Speaker Johnson.
Yeah, I thought the interesting part was you know, Biden was so demonstrative, I will use that word again, when it came to Roe v. Wade, which is such a tough situation. I mean, look, I
actually think it's good state by state.
Oh, you do? See, I don't.
Yeah, I actually do, and I'm pro-choice.
Me too.
I really am. I'm not going to deny a woman getting an abortion at
a
reasonable
time. No, it just
depends
what it
is. You
know,
at 9 months is not the time to get an abortion.
No, definitely not. There's got to be some steps to it. But like I said, it's such a
touchy
subject.
Do you know in New York City you can get an abortion a minute before birth?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Right before that baby is ready to pop out, they can abort the baby.
That's just not right. I mean, you know,
is that a killer?
No, it's a killer. I mean, look, I'm for women's reproductive rights, but at the same time, let's be really realistic and think about the child that's being born. It's such a touchy subject, and I have such a hard time talking about it with people. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Ralph. Like years ago, okay, you used to be able to talk about things with people. You know, you used to be able to discuss subjects, whether you agreed to disagree or not. Now,
yes.
It's like, for example, when I talk some things with my mom, okay? And my mom will say to me, like when I tell her that I feel that Trump is a lunatic and that I would never vote for him again, and I did vote for him. And here's the moderate approach, okay? He did some things that were good. I could say the Amorite Nations Treaty was good. Basically, his bill with Tim Scott opening up opportunity zones for black owners. Good. There's some good things there, no matter what you think of him. I mean, look, I didn't think very highly of Nixon when I was 7 years old either, okay? So I was only a kid. But there's, again, and I try to figure out why, and I just, I wonder if social media is a particular component to why we are so polarized. But like, I watched Gavin Newsom on Meet the Press 2 weeks ago make Joe Biden sound like the greatest since sliced bread. They asked specifically about his age, and he turned it around. I mean, come on. Like,
he actually never answers a question.
No, that's what most politicians
spins every question.
Yeah, most politicians
he's
don't do
very
that.
Good at that, by the way.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know,
he's another guy. He's got charisma. He's handsome.
Yep,
that goes a long way.
But he's a schmuck.
he is a schmuck. California's the pits.
That's one of the seven words you can say.
How beautiful California was in the '60s and the '70s?
Oh, I'm sure. It was gorgeous.
Paradise.
Yep, I was out there many years ago. I had moved out there, but I spent a short time there. And Albert Popwell, who was a real good friend of Clint Eastwood's, who was in a lot of his films. You might remember the first scene of, almost the first or second scene of Dirty Harry, where he's chasing that guy around.
I've never seen the film, believe it or
not. Okay. Well, the famous line is, you know, of course, if you're lucky, punk.
Right.
And there's Albert on the ground with his big smile. I could just picture him. But he was my acting coach in L.A. And,
oh, really?
He used to say to me, Rob, you have great potential. Yeah, he was in a bunch of, he did a lot of, daytime television. But he was in a lot of films, especially with Clint. So he was also in the Buddy Holly story for about 2 seconds.
Clint was the mayor of Carmel for a short time.
Yes, he was. Did you see the Buddy Holly story?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Bits and pieces.
Okay, so Albert plays this artisan repertoire gentleman who worked for the label at the time. And he's probably the only black guy in the whole film besides the guy who played Sam Cooke. So remember, that's such a great scene too, where Buddy Holly and the Crickets are like pretending to be Sam Cooke's entourage, because they won't let let white people in the hotel. Gary Busey was great in that; he really was.
He was very good.
I mean, he made.
And there's a talented guy that's just a strange bird.
Yes, he is. Absolutely, he's very.
You know when your personality and your ways get the better of you.
Yep, yep.
That's Gary Busey.
That's definitely.
You know what I mean? Yep. You know, his talent is very good.
Yes.
But, you know, he's just so strange.
Absolutely. So, people, come and give me a call right here. 413-445-5943. Come and chime
Jack
in.
Jack on the Upper East Side says, you sound great.
Really?
He's glad you're feeling well.
Yeah, I'm okay. Considering the ER and I are lining a contract to be partners.
They know you. They have to check in when you get there. They just say, come right in.
They come in. They rolled the carpet for me yesterday and everything. So yeah, it's pretty.
Were you there yesterday again?
I was there yesterday. Yeah. Yep.
How often do you go to the ER?
I've been there a bunch of times the last 2 weeks because I had severe back pain, like really bad back pain.
Are these visits paid for?
Yes, of course, by my insurance.
Thank goodness.
Thank God for Chef Boyardee. Yeah, thank God for
that. You don't need a doctor. You just had the ER.
No, what I need is a medical staff at my house. You know, I need an on-call nurse.
You need
nurse.
Somebody to poke and prod in the right way.
No kidding. Yeah, I need an on-call nurse, specifically one with like a short dress and cocktail outfit on, you know, and a...
No, you get as long as you had a rubber glove on hand. then you're perfectly
fine. I'm next for an enema. So,
oh my goodness!
My grandfather used to be like what they call an ombudsman at the hospital because my grandfather loved working. He didn't want to retire, and he was in the he was a traffic coordinator for a company called Dospun, Doespun, children's clothing manufacturers. Uh-huh. And if God forbid my uncle would have died, I would have never been able to wouldn't have to work again, for crying out loud, because the all the money went to the other side of the family. But anyway,
wow.
So my grandfather, you know, he was working there at the hospital, and so I said, Grandpa, what do you do? And he said, I give enemas. That was his line all the time. So yeah, that's next.
Well, there's therapy, you know, that you can go for.
What therapy for
alternative medicine type therapy?
Yeah, that's what I need. Definitely,
you go there and you get flushed out for a while.
Right, exactly.
it's a cleansing. It cleanses the soul, cleanses the body.
I should be flushed down.
You like to be flushed out, right?
Yeah. So your overview. So I was going to say. So the Republican response. Did you watch that?
I saw some.
Oh my God! This Katie Britt. And she's a senator from Alabama.
Yeah, I've seen
Alabama.
She set herself
lady.
Up as the American housewife.
Right.
Yet she's a senator.
Very beautiful woman.
I was actually watching this morning. I was watching her deliver her speech from her kitchen.
Right.
And it was on some program I was watching on YouTube about 5:30 this morning. She was delivering her speech, and she got so much criticism because she promoted God, she promoted the traditional housewife,
right.
And she's a senator, and she promoted a pro-life stance, and
like,
she got so much blowback
on
that.
It was
incredible. It was you wonder why people are so against, you know. The thing is, Rob, when somebody had a different point of view, you respected it back in the old days.
Exactly.
Now we can't find that in ourselves to do that.
So, yeah, I just that the response is so, again, the polarization, the response.
Over the top,
the top, right. Absolutely. She said he's out of touch. You know, all these different things, you know, he was talking about real families, I'm sure he's concerned about real families. That's why he passed this bill that, you know, when COVID came about helping out families that dealt with COVID. So again, you know, it's really a lesser of two evils at this point, you know what I'm saying? But Trump is so demented. Like some of the things he said about the fact that black people like him because he has a mugshot on his license. What mugshot?
Yeah, the mugshot.
The mugshot. I mean,
he's really deranged.
Some of the things he says are so outrageous. And I said to my mother, I said, Mom, how can you like this guy? I mean,
he's the combination of stupid and crazy. That's dangerous.
Yeah, he's a little too dangerous. Like if somebody put a gun to my head, okay, put a gun to my head and said, who are you voting for? I'd probably pick Joe, only because Joe's a little Meshuggah himself, okay? All right, but he comes off more of a more compassionate person to people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, more measured.
Yeah.
Not so impulsive.
Right, exactly.
Now, the thing is, you have to worry about, we know we have to worry about his mental state.
Right.
Joe Biden.
Yep.
You know, in a perfect world, these two would never be running.
You'd
have people of age, maybe 55, 60 years old running the country, not 80 years old.
Okay, so here's my question for you, okay? Chime in, by the way, 413-445-5943-646-492-2436 for Ralph. So here's my question. Why is it that this country has been unable, now we had Obama for 8 years, but I'm saying unable to produce a younger, flamboyant, candidate for president who people can like. I mean, I don't get it.
I think that we're afraid of change. I think that the young and upcoming person doesn't have the funds. You know, you have to have a king's ransom sometimes. Just because you're a billionaire, like that Indian guy, Ramaswamy.
Right.
Very intelligent kid.
Right.
I say kid because he's so young. I'm 63. Right, you know, he's a kid to me. Yeah, to be very intelligent, yeah. Very intelligent guy, right. But not ready. He's not quite ready. You can see he's not quite ready. Maybe he'll be ready in 8 years.
Yeah, we just
but,
need
you know,
something
to me, yeah. We need a change, but we need the right people running for the right reasons. You know, you have, you know, the way this was set up 250 years ago almost,
yep.
Was that, you know, your normal person could run for office. He'd spend 4 years, maybe 8 years in office, go back to his normal life, and then you'd get the next person. Now, these are seasoned politicians, career politicians, with coffers filled to the brim with money, and it's all about the power. It's not about the people. It always was about power.
Right.
You know, the politicians always were power hungry.
Of course.
But not to the extent where you just have the polarization that we have now, where you can't get anything done whatsoever, and the wrong people are in the wrong positions at the wrong time. If we ever needed a real leader that really had our best interest at heart, it's right now. We're in trouble. America's in trouble right now.
So Evan says, do what Republicans and Democrats have in common? They both waiting for their leaders to die. Bill Maher.
You know, Bill Maher has great insight
yes,
on many
does.
Things.
I love his show.
And Bill Maher is not afraid to cross the line. I like Bill Maher.
No, I like him a lot. He's always played fairly fair, even though, you know, obviously he supports more of the Democratic side. But he has equal time with different candidates.
He's not quite an intellectual like he thinks he is. He's a step below.
Yeah.
But he's not a George Will.
Right. George Will.
He's not one of those guys because these guys are brilliant. I have to say, whether you like George Will or you like those types,
I like this
you know,
book. I like this
these
baseball
guys are brilliant.
Book.
But Bill Maher is brilliant in his own way. But yet he listens to the other side and he goes against the Democrats when they speak in this wokeism. He actually has the nerve, the audacity to go against these Democrats, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to hear. He's a classic liberal, Robbie.
Classic, for sure.
He's the way liberals used to be. They wanted freedom. They didn't want to cancel people. They wanted everybody to have their say.
But why is it that we're so polarized? We'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about that. And also,
okay.
I wanted to get your opinion on the Oscars, the winners, the films, and films. I have
another guy named Evan. Not yeah. Evan, our friend Evan there. Another yeah. friend named Evan
yep.
chiming in.
Yep.
Go ahead. Take your break and we'll get back to it.
All right, no problem. Right here on WTBR 89.7 FM. This is Romeo and Zook. We're here every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So please give us a call, 413-445-5943. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, talk about the Oscars, talk about spring training baseball. I know Aaron Judge is out for a few days, and we'll talk about what's going on in Major League Baseball a little bit. And then we'll focus on whatever Ralphie fancies. So we'll stay with us. We'll be back real soon. What's going on here? I guess we're not breaking, so because I'm playing some commercial stuff, and I don't see anything going on here. None of my spots are playing. What's going on here? I'm trying to play my spots here, but for some reason, it's not going on. And that's my phone ringing. I actually left my phone on, but I'm trying to figure out what's going on here with my board. So I'm just looking at it, and I'm looking to play some commercials here. And for some reason here, nothing's playing. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. So we'll get some technical. I got some technical difficulties here going to the break here. Just wondering what's happening with my board. What's happening with my board? I don't know, but we'll see how it happens. Trying to figure that one out.
Click the button.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's locked up.
That's Bob Heck. So it's locked?
It's locked up. So
just go. Continue to go. Okay. So anyway, my board's locked up, folks, so I wasn't able to go to break. That's an interesting phenomenon. Phenomenon. This portion of this program brought to you by none of them. So can't figure out what's going on with it. It basically got locked up. And it's interesting how sometimes we have technical difficulties on here. It was like dead air. Dead air is like the worst thing you can absolutely have on the air. So I was like, wow, dead air. That's craziness, man. Dead air. So we'll play the intro. Welcome back to the second half of Romeo and Zook right here on WTBR 89.7 FM. That was an interesting phenomenon. You know what?
A technical glitch.
August, I'll be here 3 years, right? I'm 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing, right? And that's the first time that's ever happened to my board.
Glitches will happen.
Then my board ran out. It felt like such a schmucko. I'm like, what's going on?
Well, I was trying to talk to you, but obviously you couldn't hear me.
No, I couldn't hear you because I had to flick your Zoom there up for a second.
Well, here I am again.
Okay. Here you are again. I'm so glad we have this time together.
Oh.
Okay, so.
I saw Tom Hanks' portrayal.
Yep.
Of Mr. Rogers. Darn good.
Was it pretty good, yeah?
Yeah, because he didn't try to be Mr. Rogers as much as he could have been. You know, you can't just try to mimic the guy. He did a great approach on Hank's part.
My friend Jim Nussbaum, who's a puppeteer.
I know him.
Yeah, filmmaker, yeah. Jim does a fantastic impersonation of Mr. Rogers, and he calls me up.
Really?
Yeah, and he'll go, "Hi, Bobby, how are you?" You know, he does it better than I do. I do enough impersonations, so he does it. Every time he calls me, I just laugh my butt off. You know, I'm like, hey,
you would never think, but Mr. Rogers was an ex-military guy.
Yeah, that's interesting to know. Like, I can't picture him with a uniform on and, like, doing, like, the gun waving.
Somebody so serene would be a soldier.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Maybe he's medicated. I don't know.
He is. He's on Valium or something.
I watched that show as a little boy. And to this day, I can still sing all the songs. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive.
I had never seen that show.
You never saw Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
No, I was a Captain Kangaroo guy.
I loved Captain Kangaroo, too. You know, hey, Mr. Captain. What was it?
Mr.
Green Cheese. Yeah, I used to call him Mr. Cream Cheese when I was a kid. And I thought it was Mr. Cream Cheese. I'm like, well, doesn't he have a bagel and a schmear?
I was constantly watching Mr. Ed, Dennis the Menace, and Captain Kangaroo.
I loved Captain Kangaroo. Remember Dancing Bear? There was Dancing Bear.
I do.
There was Bunny Rabbit. And
do you remember a show named Wonderama?
Of course, Bob McAllister. Absolutely.
I was on that show twice as a six-year-old.
Are you kidding me?
But there was a guy named Sonny Fox.
Sonny Fox was the first guy, then Bob McAllister.
That's right. Sonny Fox was the host. He was so mean.
I had an album of Bob McAllister when I was a kid. I can remember it pictured.
Oops, I lost
it. It was on Casablanca Records. And
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah. So
Robbie.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm on. I hear you.
Are you there?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm here. I totally hear you. I hear you, brother, buddy. I mean, I'm like, hello, you hear me now? Ralph, you hear me now? Oh, we lost Zoom now, too. Could you believe this? Man, what's going on here at WTBR? This is great. First, I lose my Echo arrays.
Now you're back.
Okay, I'm back. Oh, my God, this is insane.
But more dead air. That's what we need.
Yeah,
more dead air.
Exactly. So we do. It's such a good feeling. Anyway, so I remember Bob McAllister. I was telling you how this album. He used to do characters like Professor Fingelheimer. Fingelheimer. The more you fingel, the less you heimer. The less you heimer.
Yes, he was very clever.
Yes, he was great. And he would eat a super onion. He was called Super Guy, and he would eat a super onion.
My mother took me into New York City. We parked in a parking lot. Guess how much in 1966 a parking lot in New York City cost? About $6.
That's it.
We parked in a parking lot. Yep. I went in there two times to do Wonderama.
Awesome.
I also was on Romper Room.
Yes, I remember Mr. Doobie. The original.
No, Romper Room was somebody named Miss Louise. Miss Louise.
No, but the character was Mr. Doobie.
Yes.
Somebody was smoking a few doobies when they created that show, I think.
I was on Rob Room and Wonderama. It was so fantastic. It was great.
And then Wonderama became a show called Kids Are People Too, and Michael Young
was
the host.
That's right.
That's right.
You're very good.
So Michael Young had two of my rock and roll heroes on one day, Rick Nielsen and Robin Zander from Cheap Trick, and that was kind of a fun show. And so I remember that really, really well. And in fact, you can go back on YouTube and watch all these things. But yes, Bob McAllister would do songs like Kids Are People Too was one of the songs. Has anybody here got an aardvark? Everyone here has a right and left ear, but nobody here has an aardvark. That was another one he used to sing.
And all of these were shot in New York City.
Yeah, everything was shot in New York City. You know, it was a wonderful show. It really was. That's when kids' television was great. I would watch the Banana Splits. I would watch, you know, all these different.
I remember
different,
that. Yeah, that's of course. I was a little old for that, but I remember that.
Yeah, it was 1970, early 70s.
I've never seen an episode of Sesame Street.
Oh, I did. Okay, so here's the deal with Sesame Street. I saw the first Sesame Street in 1969, and then when I was five, I met Susan from Sesame Street at Corvettes in Porchester, New York, where I grew up.
At Corvettes.
She was signing autographs, and I remember I had my Sesame Street album and stuff. She was very, very nice. It would have been preferred if Cookie Monster had shown up. Hello, how are you doing today? You know, basically, you know, it's funny. It's like we click a Cookie Monster. It's Louis Armstrong, for crying out loud. But except he couldn't.
How about the Electric Company?
Yes, of course. I watched the Electric Company too. And
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. That's right, my friend Andy Dufresne. Morgan Freeman. That's right. In fact, and also, of course, I'm thinking. Rita Moreno was on that show too.
Yes.
She was excellent.
Rita Moreno, the original West Side Story.
That's what she was. Yes, she was wonderful in that. My boy like that will kill your brother.
Yeah, she's still around. She's 91.
Yeah, she's still around. Amazing. Yeah, she's a beautiful woman. Very, very talented.
She almost killed herself over Marlon Brando. Did you know that?
Was she with Marlon Brando?
She was with Marlon Brando for years, on and off relationship, and he put her through such hell because he's so strange.
Yeah, he's pretty strange.
My guy, you know, that's my guy, but such a strange bird, and she almost hanged herself two or three times, slit her wrist a couple of times. It was terrible, and she was such a together person.
There's a
movie they were in together.
Which one?
You remember, the day. Oh my gosh, it's. Night of the Following Day.
Okay, wow, that's an old one.
You remember the film?
No, I don't. I don't remember the film, but I remember making it.
Late 60s. Brando and Moreno, everything in their lives were right on camera there. You saw they were playing, you know, love interest.
Right.
And they were, you could see the real relationship come out in this film. I was a sleeper. I watched that film about 10, 12 times. It's a great film.
Interesting.
I thought it was great. It wasn't great for the critics. Night of the Following Day, 1968, I think it is.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never
and
heard
Brando had blonde. Brando had his hair dyed blonde.
Really?
And he was in very good shape.
He wanted to be James Dean.
He wasn't obese.
He wasn't to be James Dean, I guess. What? I'm drinking.
James Dean was long dead by then.
Yeah, I was thinking so.
James Dean made three films, Rob.
That's it, right? East of Eden.
Giant. Rebel Without a Cause.
Right. And of course, East of Eden. Right.
Three films with such notoriety. Think about what an icon he is.
Right. Absolutely. And he's exactly.
Do you know who went out with James Dean? You know the sitcom Seinfeld.
Yes, of course.
Do you know the woman who plays the mother on?
Of course, I do. I want to be a pirate.
Do you know Seinfeld's mother?
Not personally, no. But
well, she's passed away, but I forget her name. Her and James Dean were such an item.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and they were together for many years. She was a dancer.
No kidding.
And an actress and a dancer, very elegant.
What was her name?
She's very. I forget
yeah,
her name.
Yeah, I can't remember her name either. Exactly. I told you Sandy Barron was my dad's patient.
Sandy Barron was a piece of work.
And he was, he was on, he had his own show years ago, the Sandy Barron show, but he was on with, what do we call it? He was on Seinfeld for a few episodes.
Oh yeah. My favorite appearance was in Broadway Danny Rose.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great. I love that film. That's so much fun.
All the comedians sitting around at that table.
Yeah, that's at the Carnegie Deli where I used to go all the time. When I went to the Carnegie Deli with my father, we used to run into Henny Youngman. He was there all the time. That was like his favorite place. Hey, give me a sandwich. You know, take my wife, please. He was there all the time. Nice
Cindy
man.
Cindy tells me her name, and I remember Cindy just told me her name.
Okay.
Liz Sheridan.
Liz Sheridan. Right. Lynn Sheridan, you think about, right?
Liz.
Oh, Liz. Okay. Because I remember Lynn Sheridan. The old actress, the actress from many, many years ago, who was in The Man Who Came to Dinner. You ever see The Man Who Came to Dinner? I love that movie. That's hilarious.
I think I did a long time ago.
If you haven't seen it, it's a scream. It really is a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun.
It reminds me of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yes, which I also like as well, of Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier.
Yep. Spencer Tracy, I think that was his last performance. Besides,
that was his final hurrah.
Right,
yeah.
It's a mad world was on the other night too, and he was also in that.
Yeah, he was very sick during the filming of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yeah, it's a shame. I know. And Catherine Hepburn
got him through.
Yeah, well, they were an interesting couple for sure. You know.
But here's the thing about that film that's unusual.
Yep.
Catherine Hepburn did such good work in other places.
Right.
She won other films. She won her Academy Award for that film.
She was very good in it, though. I mean,
she was good, but I didn't think it was worthy. I thought many things she did in the past, I didn't think that her performance stood out that much.
No, not really. Catherine Howland was very good in it. You know,
just think about how she won for that and not for the others.
And Sidney Poitier was wonderful in that movie. I have that movie.
The same thing happened to Paul Newman, by the way.
Right. Right.
Never won an Academy Award until The Color of Money.
I know, and that right exactly wasn't a great. Well, they felt they owed it to him. I mean, he should have won for
the verdict.
He should have won for The Verdict. There's a lot of movies he could have won for. Seriously,
if he was ever going to get one, Sting it was for The Verdict.
Yeah, The Sting was awesome too. I love The Sting. That's one of my favorite movies.
I liked that at the time. It didn't age very well.
What, The Sting?
I tried to watch it about 5 years ago. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I like it. I'll watch it anytime. It's just it's a lot of fun, and the plot is really cool, and the way they set things up, and it's interesting. You know, the way
I love the film HUD.
HUD.
Fantastic film. Fantastic. Great scenery. Just brilliant. Black and white. Brilliant.
Right, that's right. HUD's an older film. That's right. Yep. So,
but it was still, when they were doing colored picture, they still chose to do that black and white.
So Gillian, what's his face? The guy who won for Oppenheimer, Gillian Murphy.
Yes.
I've never seen him in anything else. And I haven't seen
Oppenheimer.
And I was going to see Oppenheimer and he had a chance. But I thought to myself, all right, I'm going to go to the movies and sit through a 3-hour movie. And you know, I'm going to be able to sit there without having to get up and go to the bathroom. You know, that's
No, in the movie theater, there may be a killer in there, a mass murderer.
I mean,
I'm
would
not
be
gonna sit in a movie theater when they turn the lights out in the movie theater. I'm uneasy now.
I mean, I would be happy to just watch it at home so I could pause it once in a while and get up and
hey, Robbie, I used to go to these arty movie theaters in Manhattan and watch these foreign films best.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
I used to have such a good time. You know, I used to get all my acting chops honed in these foreign films that I used to watch in these at the Angelique Theater in Manhattan. These other theaters.
I used to love going
Those
to radio.
Those were the days.
Yeah. I used to love going
Nobody
to
goes
Radio
to watch
City.
A film anymore.
Well, I do. I used to love going to Radio City. I love going to the movies. I mean, we have a really nice place, the Beacon Cinema, and it's.
Do you still go?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, I've seen a bunch of different movies. I just didn't get a chance. I was going to see Oppenheimer there. The nice thing about the Beacon is you can go at like 10 o'clock in the morning and see a movie. You know,
that's great. Robert Downey was fantastic. I heard.
Yeah, I was so happy for him last night. He's one of my favorite
actors.
Very
good actor.
I loved him in Chaplin. He was amazing in Chaplin.
Terrific!
Yeah, so he was, and I'm glad he's happy and sober. His wife is very beautiful. So, yeah, he was great. But
you know what I liked him in that Clooney film that he made about CBS.
Trying to remember.
Good morning, good night, good.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, the one about Edward J. Morrow.
Yeah, yeah, very good. I actually
David
enjoyed that.
Yeah, David Strathairn. Yeah, too. David Strathairn played him. That's right. Yeah, he got.
Hey, what do you think of Clooney?
As an actor?
Just generally speaking.
I think he's very underrated. I think he's a very fine actor. I think he plays versatile parts. I think he does characters well. He plays a good straight man, but I've seen him play characters too. Obviously, in some of the films he played with Totoro. Remember in I'm thinking of the one where they escaped from jail. So
I had Totoro on my program years ago.
Wow, no kidding.
What a great guy.
Nice man, huh?
What a versatile guy. What a very good. His best performance, Quiz Show.
He was great in Quiz Show. We were talking about that last week, yeah. Herb Stample.
I loved him
Herb
in Quiz
Stample.
Show.
Yep. That was well done.
Cindy loves that film, too.
Yeah, it's great. My buddy Mario Cantone screaming and yelling in the phone booth. Right?
That's a great part.
Charles Van Deren, give me an autograph. Give me an autograph,
that's,
Charles,
that's
Van
a great part.
Charles Van Deren.
Charles Van Deren. Now here's a guy, right? He spells his name Rafe Fiennes.
Yep.
He spells his name the same as I do, right, but they pronounce it Rafe.
I don't get it at all. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think I'm going to call myself Rafe Romeo from now on.
There you go. You should be Rafe Romeo.
It sounds so cool.
It
Rafe
does.
Romeo.
Rafe Romeo. There you go. Exactly. Hi, Rafe.
Doesn't sound Italian anymore, but it sounds cool.
Oh, yeah. Evan Campbell says, oh, brother, where art thou? He's talking about. So, yeah. How you doing,
oh,
Evan?
Oh, yes. I didn't see that.
Evan, chime in and give us a call if you'd like, all right? So
Evan's a very good man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he's
very, I talked to him on the phone. Very, very courageous guy.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the more courageous people I know. So, you know, I sit there sometimes and I worry about myself and I think about all my other friends that are dealing with some serious
issues. Well, he received the shock of his life, and he's dealing with it magnificently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he and Sean, our late friend, used to play in a band together many years ago.
Sean had some pipes, I hear.
Yeah, he did. He was a terrific singer. He and I used to do karaoke together at Michael's Pub up here in Stockbridge.
Yeah, poor Sean.
Yeah, I know.
I always thought he could be saved, but I guess he really destroyed himself.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's,
what good is talking about? It just hurts.
Yeah, it's tough. You know,
I want to remember him in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things I loved about him, but it's like I'm sitting in the studio and the microphone is straight across from me. The other microphone, there's about three or four mics in here, a bunch of mics on the opposite side. And
you should put you should put something in that studio that remains the same.
Yeah.
To him.
Well, I was going to bring a copy of the Post all the time because I have a picture of the copy of the Post, and he would give me a New York Post after every show. He'd say, here, this is for you, you know, and give me a New York Post. So
the thing with him, I never knew the guy, right? He latched on to me. We had some very in-depth conversations.
Yep.
And I really didn't know the guy before all this, you know.
Right.
And it just really, we kind of hit it off together. Very nice kid. Very nice kid.
Yeah.
But very unpredictable. You know, he was moody. You didn't know what you were going to get.
Yes, Sean was definitely unpredictable. So anyway, you want to chime in, 413-445-5943, 1052 right here, Romeo.
All right, Dale asked us a question.
Yeah.
Dale from California.
Yeah, read some text. Seriously, I need to shut up. So,
Your best influences... I think he means influence. Your best influence for your, you know, who inspired you the most acting wise growing up?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Probably Dustin Hoffman. I would say probably one of who's obviously comes from the Stanislavski school. And if you want to talk about, and as far as like music goes, or art or creativity, the Beatles, hands down for me. So,
Hoffman's most memorable film in your mind.
Oh my God! There's so many great performances. I mean, I love him in Tootsie. I love The Graduate. You know, I'll tell you what. Little Big Man. He was great in.
Fantastic!
He was great in Midnight Cowboy. I mean, there's so many of them. Little Big Man.
My favorite, Marathon Man.
Oh, okay, he was great in Marathon Man too. I can't believe it. This is unbelievable. I mean, I'm sitting here and everybody's telling me if they're Dustin Hoffman is my favorite actor.
My Marathon. If you think about,
I know the greatest tomato, the greatest tomato of all time. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I love that. I love Tootsie. I can watch Tootsie a million times.
You know who are the two shortest guys ever to make it big in Hollywood? Do you know who they are?
Well, Danny DeVito,
Dustin as one. Who's the other guy that was very short? That it goes way back that made it big.
Very short. He
always had to stand on boxes to meet the height of his leading lady.
Yeah, I was talking about Cagney.
Who's that, sweetie?
Cagney.
Yep, Alan Ladd.
Oh, Alan Ladd, right. Alan Ladd was short. Yeah, I love Shane. That's
Alan
a good
Ladd
movie.
Was like he was standing in a hole.
I didn't know that.
And he always had to stand him on a shoebox. Another guy that was short, it's not coming to me. I had the name just now for a minute. What good is it?
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito's in a class by himself. It's a whole different thing.
That was funny with he and Schwarzenegger the other night, and they can't even words to come out together. It's like they're inseparable, those two guys.
Yeah, they're always good friends. We just saw an excerpt from Kindergarten Cop last night.
Kindergarten Cop, yeah.
When he says, it's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. Wow, we got 5 minutes left. Holy Moses. And I'm getting some more information here from Evan. Oh, Tom Cruise.
Lenny in the Bronx.
Evan says Tom Cruise. He likes Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise. He was asking what about him, and I said, I like Tom Cruise.
He's box office gold.
Tom Cruise is short. I didn't realize how short Tom Cruise was.
Oh, he's very short.
And he looks so tall. He cornered
the market on lifts.
You know he was lifts. Great. I'll give you another Hoffman performance we never even discussed. Rain Man. He was fantastic in Rain Man.
Definitely, Cindy's favorite. An excellent driver.
Excellent driver.
Yeah. How many toothpicks are there? Of course, there are 43,564.
Right, exactly. All of the toothpicks that came out of the box, right? Exactly.
You remember that? He knew exactly how many.
I mean, it's brilliant. I worked with Tom
Cruise did his patented scream in that film. When he got exasperated on the road, he leaves the car and he screams in a high pitched voice.
Yeah. It was crazy. It's underwear. Tom Cruise
lived in Wayne,
underwear.
New Jersey.
Yeah, I got to have my underwear.
Tom
Kmart.
Cruise lived in Wayne, New Jersey for years.
Oh, did he? Kmart, 400 Oak Street, Cincinnati, Ohio. Got to have my underwear. Kmart.
And then Tom Cruise said to Dustin, he said, Kmart sucks.
Right. Remember
bad
after.
News for
Kmart,
right. Kmart
sucks. Right, there you go. That's right, Ray. You just made a joke. Yeah.
there's a franchise that's not in business anymore.
What? I used to go to Kmart. There was a Kmart down in Great Barrington. That I used to go to and once in a while, which was pretty good, actually. There were some good prices down there. So, but, getting back to the Oscars, I was going to say, you know, I was really happy for, like I said, for Robert Downey. And then, of course, Cillian Murphy wins for the big picture for Oppenheimer, which I definitely need to see at some point. And then,
me too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then and best director, of course, was the director of Tom. He was the director of Oppenheimer. So Oppenheimer won for everything. My mother said to me, everybody who won from Oppenheimer for Oppenheimer was all British. They were all British people. So I said, well, what's wrong with that, Mom? Yeah. So what's wrong with that, Mom?
except for Downey. She doesn't care for that. She wants the Americans to win in America. You know, that's where she's coming from.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you know they used to say everything's political?
Well, no, I thought she was thinking that way, but it didn't really matter. That's really, I thought that's where she was coming from, but not really. So that's exactly. I said, Mom, what are you talking about? Downey won. I said Emma Stone's American. So I was like, okay, but she was just making a general statement about it. So that's all.
Who's the woman that won fairly recently, going back maybe 15 years? For that movie where they she took in a football player, and she won the Academy Award. She did not deserve it. Who's the blonde that won for that? You know, the whole premise behind the film was that she adopted this football player, this poor black football player. Oh, Bullock.
Yeah, I was thinking about Christopher. Sandra Bullock. Yeah, I was thinking of Christopher Nolan. So that was his first.
That was the biggest joke that she won for that. She actually won an Academy Award for that film. You know the film I'm talking about?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
She takes in this big black football player, gives him a home where he had no home. Anyway, she won for that. That was the biggest travesty. I can't remember the film.
I got you. Yeah, Christopher.
I'm trying to think of the biggest travesties ever in the Oscars.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan was the director of Oppenheimer. So
you're right.
So could you believe we're almost done? That's amazing. Goodness gracious.
The guy who never won an Academy Award. He won an Academy Award for Best Director. I think Robert Redford.
Yeah, Robert Redford. My mother met him down in Georgia in Savannah. Walked up to him and said, Afghanistan, Bananistan, from the Hot Rock. That's another great film.
I think he won for Ordinary People.
He did. He did win for Ordinary People. Yes, that's correct.
Mary Tyler Moore won, too, that year.
Yes. May she rest in peace. Very talented lady, too. I loved her show. I used to watch her show all the time. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Ralph Romeo, and thanks to our bunch of...
Can I say tune in tonight at 6 o'clock, everybody? WPAT?
Absolutely, man. Hopefully, I'll be on with you. I hope one of these days. So maybe
you can come on anytime you want.
Maybe I'll come on tonight.
I don't know why you always end up sick during the night you're supposed to come on.
Yeah, I know. Well, I feel okay. So All right, brother.
Hey, I love you. I love you, buddy. Please take care of yourself.
I will, you buddy. Thanks. All right, we'll see you next week, folks. All the best. Take care.